What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on into the Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. Your host, Sean Kane, here. Sorry I'm not bringing you this pod any earlier. I've been... I had an airport disaster yesterday. I was traveling, got bumped from a flight. I wasn't exactly, you know, United style dragged out. I wasn't thrilled about it. I'm not gonna lie, was not thrilled about getting bumped off my flight and rerouted. Didn't get home until 10 o'clock. So I am behind the eight ball today, guys. I apologize for that, but I'm still gonna try to get you this slate breakdown. We got the free roll tonight. The Lineup Logic review free roll. I already got people in there. Got a couple guys who contacted me. Hey, Sean, free roll, I'm in. Get me in there. You write a review. Send me a message. I'll send you the link. No doubt about it. I'm going to give out cash to the winners. Cash that you can use however you want. If you want to buy a cheat sheet subscription for October, great. That would be awesome. I would love that to have you on board, you know. Pay for your cheat sheet. If not, spend the money as you see fit. You know, be responsible. Be fiscally responsible. We do advocate for fiscal responsibility on this podcast. I'm not like the party of fiscal responsibility, but not in that sense. Anyway, enough about that. But write a review. I'm sorry. Write a review. Get in there. I appreciate it. It's a great way to help the podcast. I'll do a free roll for all of you guys who remember to get reach out to me if you have written that review. Coming into this Monday night slate, we have, I believe, if I'm correct, eight games on tonight's slate. It's a big one. It's a nice slate. We're getting into it. So let's go ahead. Let's not waste any time. Let's take a look at what Vegas has to say about tonight's NBA slate. All right, starting off with Denver at New York, 210 total in this one. This one's jumped up a point, and a lot of people like Denver here. They're currently favored by 4.5 on the road in New York. They had a nice game in Atlanta, a nice game in Brooklyn. You know, those are kind of get-right spots for any team. So for a team that was struggling a little bit, a good get-right spot for Denver. They get the Knicks, who, you know, come off a big win last night, but a back-to-back for the Knicks yesterday after they went out to Cleveland. You know, as far as injuries go, the Knicks are not dealing with anything. I think the big storyline for the Knicks is you saw the emergence of Tim Hardaway Jr. yesterday, who just went ham on the Cavaliers, finally kind of started to get back to the form that he was supposed to be in to replace Courtney Lee. So he is certainly still a value that we can consider on today's slate. And the Nuggets, no injuries that we're seeing there. We're seeing the core kind of start to come together for the Nuggets. Millsap, Jokic playing nice games in their last one. Gary Harris getting back to form. Still have not seen Wilson Chandler come into form. And Moutier and Murray are splitting minutes, but it certainly seems like Murray is trending in the more aggressive starting direction as he was kind of continuing from where he was last year. I think that the Nuggets understand that their future is more likely with Murray, so they're going to be giving him more minutes here as they go through. Next game on the slate, San Antonio at Boston. Really weird to me to see San Antonio as 3.5. I mean, in this move towards Boston, I mean, 3.5-point dogs. I guess San Antonio has been playing pretty poorly and people don't like how they look without Kawhi in there. I just think that LaMarcus, with this interior matchup that he has, he should be able to continue to do good things. Now, it's not the best interior matchup out there, but he has a really nice matchup against the Celtics front court, which has been, you know, not intensely good. I don't know why. I mean, I guess 3-point favorites is not that big of a deal. And it's a pretty low over-under at 193. There's a couple little itty-bitty pieces from this game that I'm interested in. But, you know, I have a hard time believing that rookies like Jaylen Brown and, well, Jaylen Brown's not a rookie, but, you know, second-year guy Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to be able to do work against a Popovich defense. Which, if nothing else, the Spurs defense has been good. I mean, they were undefeated going into the weekend. So, you know, They're still the Spurs. Dallas at Miami, 215 total in this one. Minnesota at Miami. And the Wolves favored by 3, coming off a nice win again against Oklahoma City. They are interesting. They are beating the good teams, losing to the bad teams. You know, they beat the Jazz, but they lose to, you know, like Detroit. Like, what is going on here? The identity of this team, very, very strange. 109 for the Wolves and 106 for the Heat. Some good spots here, certainly some interesting spots. We're going to talk about a couple different players on the player breakdown from this game. 76ers at Rockets, rematch of what we saw last week. 215 total. This one, interestingly enough, has dropped. This total opened at 218. It's dropped to 215. People hammering the under. Probably a couple things. Questionable tag for Joel Embiid on his hand. Maybe he gets limited. Maybe the people are expecting them to him to leave the game early or not play, or just kind of hedging, trying to see if he won't play there. Very interesting, though. Really interesting to see the line move this much away from the over. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, these two teams, if Ben Simmons gets going and Eric Gordon gets going like they did in Philadelphia, this could certainly be a big game for both teams. But I think it does revolve around Embiid and how he plays and if he plays well. Now, we're not going to see probably the same numbers from Clint Capella that we saw last time, but it certainly seems like an interesting spot. Orlando at New Orleans. This game is really interesting. 225 total it opened at. It's now at 223. Again, going to the under. You know, I don't know. Teams just don't think that these teams are that good. But actually, New Orleans kind of on a nice little streak this weekend. Anthony Davis comes back. You know, they beat Cleveland. He looked really good. And Boogie has just been a man possessed. He looks unbelievable. His numbers are ridiculous this year. Orlando also really, really impressive in their last couple games. Getting some really, really good performances from their team. So, are from their individual contributors. So this actually should be a pretty good game and could be a very high-scoring affair. We'll talk about some of the players from this one in the player breakdown. Charlotte at Memphis, 194 total in this one. Memphis favored by 5 at home. This one should not be a real fantasy interest for us. We've got players priced up. Kemba's price jumped up a little bit after a good performance yesterday. Marcus Saul's price is up. You know, Mike Conley seems to be the real value in this game. Jeremy Lamb, there's not a lot of value there. A lot of guys just kind of coming off of good weeks and some good performances are priced a little bit above where you would like them to be and kind of what should actually probably, I feel like 194 is a good number here. Just no reason to really look at this game when you have like 5 games over 210 points on the slate. So not my favorite game for fantasy purposes, but an interesting one for real basketball perspective. You know, just two experienced big teams that, you know, you kind of similar identities, right? You know, a lot of play through the middle, traditional centers, good point guards, athletic, dynamic point guards. Dallas at Utah, 190 total in this one. This one should also be pretty ugly. The thing about it is there's actually a little bit more meat on the bone as far as fantasy purposes go here in this one. There are some injuries that we need to be concerned about. Dallas is likely going to be without Dennis Smith, which is going to open up more minutes for J.J. Barea and Yogi Ferrell. The question is, do you want to play them against Utah? You know, and in Utah, there are, who is injured in Utah? Somebody was out in Utah. Dante Exum, which of course has opened up a lot of minutes for Donovan Mitchell to play kind of the backup point guard position. And I really like Donovan Mitchell in this spot. Dallas's defense has been pretty poor, and especially on the perimeter. So I think this is a good spot to go with maybe some value plays, some of the more inexpensive spots in this game. One of the more interesting games on the night to me is this Portland-Toronto game. You know, and it opened at 215. It's now down to 213. Toronto opened as 2-point favorites. They're now 3.5-point favorites. And it was a pretty tight spread to start the day. 55-45 betting percentages were there. But it's starting to move towards Portland. And I wrote about this in my RotoViz piece. that it was a really tight spread, and that kind of indicates some public confusion. Now, part of the reason some of this movement may have occurred recently is because we just got news that we have a bunch of people sitting for Toronto. In fact, you have injuries for both Serge Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas. Now, Lucas Nogueira, we have not heard any news about Nogueira. We're not going to know, but we're not going to know right away. But he did not play on Friday. Pascal Siakam got the start. You know, Jakob Poeltl has been the most successful. Although the guards take over most of the usage, I looked at the on-off, and it's really the usage then just goes to the two already high usage guys in DeRozan and Lowry. When you're missing guys like Ibaka and Valanciunas, so you know it's definitely going to be some scoring pressure put back on Lowry and DeRozan in this one. I think that the price for Lowry is very appealing, especially considering how poorly he has shot recently. I think that there's some progression possible for Lowry coming in this game. We'll talk about him during the player breakdown. Moving on, another West Coast game, last one of the night. This is an interesting one. Golden State versus the Clippers, 221.5. The Clips are 5-point home dogs to the Warriors. And this game should be competitive. I mean, it usually is, but usually Golden State gets the better of them. Clippers come out and, you know, give it their best shot. And it's interesting. There's some really interesting statistics about these two teams. So I will talk about it. Well, I talked about it in my RotoViz article. I'm not name dropping RotoViz. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember, keep all my notes straight. The Clips are actually leading the league in point differential. They are like minus 13. They've just dominated people. You know, a couple really dominant blowout type performances, and then a couple tighter ones. And then the Warriors have been getting that treatment from a lot of people. They've been really getting everybody's best effort, and they're only getting a 3-point point differential right now, which for them, after leading the league in point differential last year, winning by more than 10 points pretty much every single game, that's pretty impressive. It's pretty interesting that the Clippers have taken that title from them. So a very interesting matchup here in LA should be a good one. And I think you probably warrant some exposure. I don't believe we have any injuries, any serious injuries from either team, but we will talk about, how we want to know. And yeah, nothing on Golden State and nothing on the Clippers that I'm seeing as of right now. Yeah. Nothing that I'm seeing for either team. So nothing to be concerned about, even after that finger injury, except for Teledosius, excuse me, Austin Rivers still playing, even though he had that finger, dislocated finger, everything. That was pretty wild. I was going around Twitter. But yeah, let's jump into the player breakdown. We gotta talk about this because we got a lot of different players to sort through, get our player pool built up and see if we can get you guys some lineups before lock. Who do you love? All right, starting with the point guard position. You guys know I'm going to start up here at the top with the studs on the slate. I really like Dame and Steph, both priced 9.3, 9.4 respectively on FD versus Toronto. I mean, Lowry is a very good defender in general, but Lillard has really outperformed expectations this year. He is really highly rated right now in his efficiency differential, which, by the way, is kind of the place that I start with player effectiveness is efficiency differential, PER, stuff like that. And then I'll kind of grade them out from there. He's averaging 34 minutes, 22 points, 5 and 6, rebounds and assists with a steal in every single game. I like that this game is tight. I like that this game is at home in the Moda Center for him. He's got a 30% usage rate. We want to see him. Really, what you want to see is you want to take him, see him take a shit ton of shots. Like, you want to see Lillard be like, I'm going to put up 22 shots tonight. And that's kind of been the difference. You know, he's gone anywhere between 15 or 16 attempts up to like 21 attempts. And there's a massive difference when he does that. You're talking about, you know, maybe 6 points. It makes a big difference in fantasy scoring. So it's not a perfect spot. You know, Lowry has been good at limiting the three-pointer. He's limited him, you know, as far as just or limited opposing point guards just in effective, or excuse me, in 3-point shooting percentage this year. So, you know, and only allowing like 18 attempts per game. So there's not a ton to love about the matchup of Lowry, but there is a ton to love about the way that Dame is playing now. I think it's reasonable if you want to go over to Steph, you know, on the road. I mean, you have Lillard at home here in a tight game, but Steph has a higher total. And he performs really well against the Clippers, you know, and he performed really well last year against the Rockets when Pat Bev was there. If you're going, wait a second, Pat Bev, he is actually plays really well against Pat Bev. Don't worry about that. Yeah, very easy to pivot to Steph. I'll talk a little bit more about Steph and KD are kind of two of the more interesting names when you actually have a competitive game where you need a lot of minutes and scoring. Those are the go-to guys for that team when they need go-to scoring. And we've seen Steph come out this year and actually really make a case for, you know, hey, listen, you paid the right man of money. He's been really good, scoring a ton and taking, you know, being kind of a little bit more of an alpha, being a little bit more aggressive, which, you know, it didn't hurt him last year that he wasn't as aggressive. They were still good. It's just, you know, I think maybe he just decided that that's how he wants to play. Add shooting guard. Obviously, it's the beard at 11K. This is a nice price point on paper for Harden. You know, I mean, getting Philadelphia at home, he's leading all shooting guards in efficiency differential. He's got 36 minutes, 25 points. The one thing I don't love, I mean, 10 assists, 20 attempts per game. That's all very consistent. He's not getting as many rebounds as he did last year. Only about 5 rebounds per game. That's about 3 fewer. Now, I mentioned that Houston is actually running a slower pace than they originally were. They're about average right now in the league where they used to be, you know, breakneck. Absolutely. So the lack of rebounding, the lower possessions, you know, it's just kind of a strange thought to be like, okay, let's go to the beard. He hasn't really hit 5X value. Like, he's only broken 50 in one game this year. You know, the hard part is like, if you get lower shooting percentage, you know, because he's kind of had just lower numbers across the board this month, but he's not priced like it. I mean, think about this, right? At this price, you need 50. You definitely want 55 points. You're hoping for more from your stud, right? That's a three-pointer. Let's say he doesn't, he misses one more three. He lacks 3 rebounds beyond what you project. Maybe he only goes for, you know, 4 rebounds instead of 7 rebounds. And he has one less assist. It doesn't seem like a lot. And in like in a course of a real basketball game, there's a good chance that those rebounds get scraped up by somebody else or, you know, that the assist isn't required or whatever the case may be. Who knows? You know, if it's not a very, very close game, then those things aren't that important. But for fantasy purposes, you know, we're talking about nearly 10 points right there. The 3-pointer, 3 rebounds is what? 4 points right there. Okay, there's 7 almost. And then the assist, 8.5 plus, nearly, okay, so 9 fantasy points. That's a really big deal. I mean, the difference between 55 and 46 for you is, you could be the difference between cashing and not cashing. It's just kind of a really, really frustrating thing to project for Harden. That's the hardest part for me, is it's slim differences in his game, but it's the difference between him, you know, being the 5X stud that you want, 50 plus with a ceiling, versus not doing that on a regular basis. And that's what concerns me about the beard these days. I really like the price point on KD. I do think 50 points for him at 10-3 is really, 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 really nice. We're off the back-to-back. Well, guess who overperforms on the Warriors off the back-to-back? Kevin Durant. Guess who overperforms on the road on the road? It's Kevin Durant. And guess who has overperformed in close games? It's Kevin Durant and Steph. Actually, Iggy as well, which is really interesting, but it makes sense. Iggy makes sense. I mean, all these guys make sense. It makes sense for Iggy to overperform on close games because down the stretch, if they don't have to play Iggy more than 24 minutes, they won't. But if it's a close game, he's going to be that fifth man that they go with when they play that small ball Draymond at the five lineup, right? That's their Death Star lineup, right? He will be on the floor to finish the games in close game situations, and that's where those extra minutes come from. He gets those extra minutes. That's where he gets those extra fantasy points. So Iggy is interesting. I think the question is, you know, do you project this game to be really close, and can you project Iggy to get those minutes this early in a regular season game? I'm not sure about that. KD, however, you know, he's just been, we know his minutes don't change. We know they play him plenty of minutes. Steve Kerr just uses him because he's such a unique player in that roster. They can move anybody else in and out of that lineup, but there's really no replacement for Kevin Durant in that lineup, right? I mean, there really isn't. So he benefits here. I think he's in a unique position at a very affordable price point. I mean, 10-3 is kind of like, that's the ideal for me personally in lineup construction. That's the ideal price for a stud, because what I want is a 50 pointer out of my stud or studs, and 10-3 is a very, very achievable. I mean, I know Kevin Durant's going to probably get me over 40, right? Very rare that he underperforms that, especially in a, what should be a high scoring affair against the Clippers, competitive game. If it stays competitive down the stretch, he's going to get those, you know, upwards of 33, 34, 35, 36 minutes. That's where I really want him. So I like this spot for Kevin Durant a lot. I think people have been on him just because he's been playing so well. And he's been good. I mean, he's been hitting value very consistently, and his price just hasn't really jumped too high. So I think we can continue to look at him at this price at 10-3. It's a very reasonable price. And the thing that I was mentioning earlier about Golden State letting teams stay in games, 4-point scoring margin compared to last year's 12-point mark. Now, the Clips actually have the largest scoring mark in 2017, and that's going to, you know, this is all going to regress, normalize. We have to kind of wait for 20 games before these statistics normalize, you know, so let's all kind of take it with a grain of salt. Some of the things that we see are going to change in these leaderboards for as far as efficiency differential and points differential, they're all going to change. We give it 20 games, okay? Give it the full, you know, pretty much all the way through November, and then we'll really know what is an honest representation of some of these teams. But it is indicative, I think, of way two things for me. It's indicative of the fact that people are coming for the Warriors' throat. It's also indicative of the fact that the Clippers really like the five guys that they got. I mean, they are playing really well because they look around them and they're like, this is a good team. You know, this is a really, and it's not that they were a bad team with Chris Paul. It's simply that I think that they feel like they have a lot more energy, a lot more depth, and perhaps a little bit more of a dynamic character where Blake is allowed to handle the ball pretty much all the time, and everybody else is a complimentary piece around that. I think that that puts them in a unique position, and I think that you're seeing a lot of guys respond really positively to more responsibility, and it's just a good balance. I mean, I think that's a well-constructed roster, personally. I just like the way that that team is built. You know, it's not nice to build around a guy who can't play 60% of a season, but in Blake, but it certainly is an interesting, I think, from the way that they were able to not skip a beat after losing a perennial all-star for CP3. That's always been my thought about this new Clips team. Okay. Moving on to the power forward. It's pretty obvious, man. The Brow at 11-7. The annoying thing is Brow at this price, you just look at his game logs and everybody goes, yeah, I really want to play this guy. Yeah, you really want to play this guy against Orlando. I mean, Boogie's 12K, he's 11-7. They're basically doing the exact same thing. They're just being so freaking dominant. It's unbelievable. Brow to me, I love this spot for him. The Magic are actually one of the worst rebounding teams in the league, strangely enough. And AD, Boogie averaging 27 rebounds per game between the two of them. They're both averaging double-digit rebounds. He's going for 25 and 13 on 32 minutes this year. He's just demolished He's just demolished people. Individual matchups with Kevin Love and Draymond Green, his efficiency differential was, you know, through the roof. These guys are they're just such great individual talents. So he got 36 minutes on Saturday in the win against Cleveland. You have to think that they're going to want to keep this momentum going, give these guys plenty of minutes, try to keep the win streak alive as they're at home against Orlando. I think you easy get 60 points out of here. In fact, he is probably my favorite stud, if not my second favorite behind Boogie. But I think you could look at Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons is on the slate. He's actually, they give you money to roster Bill Simmons. I'm kidding. Ben Simmons, 9,300 at Houston. I mean, he's just an animal. Averaging 17-9-7 with a usage rate above 30% on 34 minutes. We've seen the man just slice and dice, and it's been super duper effective. We know he's going to be in a high scoring competitive affair on the road in Houston. The only difference that I have, the only problem that I have, and I don't know how much of a difference it is because we don't have defensive real plus minus statistics for this year. Trevor Ariza this time around versus Ryan Anderson and Mbah Mute last time around. Well, excuse me, no. Simmons got Mbah Mute. Bob Cove got Ryan Anderson. Do they pivot? Do they put someone else on Ben Simmons in order to limit him? And do they try to get somebody with a little bit more athleticism? Trevor Ariza, it's not that Mbah Mute is good, right? He's a very good defender. It's just Trevor Ariza is longer, I believe. If I'm correct, I believe Trevor Ariza is like, what, almost 6'9"? And Mbah Mute is, let me make sure I'm not making this up. Ariza is 6'8". And Mbah Mute is, this is exciting. I'm looking up two players' heights. Why don't you just guess? What do you think Mbah Mute's height is? That's a pretty fun way to kill time, right? Mbah Mute is very hard to find on Roto World, because it's very hard to remember his name. This is really bad radio. But I'm going to commit to it. I'm not going to delete it. I'm sorry, I didn't delete it. He's 6'8", 2". Okay, so that was a lot of research for pretty much no result. I'm not going to apologize to you because it's too much work to delete that. And I'm not that professional. They're the same height, so that analysis is null and void. Moving on to center, Boogie, 12K versus Orlando. Boogie is a man possessed. It's just unreal, dude. 32-13 right now, averaging with 6 assists. Are you kidding me? 6 assists? Horford, Jokic, and Gasol are the only ones above 3, and he's got 6. He's out. He's doing everybody by like 1.5. Jokic is 4.8, and Boogie's like 6.1. He's scoring almost 10 points more than all of them. He's shooting 54% from the field, 34% from the arc on 7 attempts per game from behind the arc. That's pretty sweet to get from your center. DK players, keep that in mind. In fact, he's leading all centers in three-point scoring, just to be very clear about that, and blocks. Orlando, 5th most blocks allowed in the league. So Boogie is in an amazing spot here, no doubt about it. The issue is that you can roster AD at power forward and get a really nice price, you know, $300 discount for a guy with a very similar range of outcomes against, you know, the same front court. And then you are able to also get a center in there of your choosing that you like. So you're not limiting. And, you know, the power forward player pool is just not as sexy as the center. The center player pool for me has a nice wide range tonight. And I like my options there. I think that that's part of the reason why I might go to AD is just roster construction. It just allows me to feel a little bit better about my roster. All right, moving on to the Grout plays here. Fantasy Grout. I really like Kyle Lowry at 7,500. We see, you know, no Ibaka, no no Valanciunas on the floor. We know he's going to get a usage bump. We know DeRozan's going to get a usage bump there. You know, he was coming on. I mean, he's been really good in his last two games. He had a nice game against LA. I hope you guys were on that Friday. Friday, I recommended him on LA. The best part is the assists and the rebounds. Those are up. Shooting still has not popped, though. He's taking the same number of attempts, okay? But he's only shooting 35% this season. I mean, he's a career 42% shooter. He's going to go. I mean, he was as low as 28%, even in that Lakers game when he had plenty of fantasy scoring. As soon as he gets above that 35, 40% mark for one of these games, you're going to see his fantasy scoring just pop. Because, you know, he needs those extra, you know, 6 points a game for us to, you know, just three more buckets. That's all we're talking about. Two, three more buckets. And that makes a big difference. I mean, that's the thing. And it's the margins are very small in fantasy basketball, right? So he's a career 42% shooter. We still have not seen him that, but we've seen the willingness right now to create in other ways, get on the glass, get the assists going, try to create for his teammates, but still taking the same, you know, number of attempts that he has taken in back-to-back games. He's still getting the same looks that he's get. I don't know if he's getting the looks that he's wanting because I haven't watched any Toronto games, but he's taking shots, which indicates to me that he's getting looks. He's not just getting them to fall right now. So you have to think that eventually one of these games, he's going to get them to fall. Portland is just an excellent rebounding team. So I don't think we can count on the rebounds coming for Lowry in this one. As, you know, we saw him kind of get after the rebounds in the LA game. But I do expect the minutes. I do expect the higher usage rate. I do at some point expect improved shooting. And I think the matchup with Lillard is not the end of the world. You know, this is a really interesting game just from a basketball perspective to watch Lowry and DeRozan play Lillard and McCollum is like, you know, it's very interesting to me. And Lowry is the cheapest of all four of those players. If you want to go down a little bit, I think Jrue Holiday versus Orlando is very interesting. He has arguably the best matchup on the board beyond the cheap value guys down here who have some really nice matchups. Only Dallas and Denver allow more scoring to the point guard. The real question is, you know, is 35 plus points on the board for him at 7,500, you want 35 or more points. That's a lot, but you know, he has been really consistent. You look at his numbers in the last couple games, the minutes are there, the rebounds and the assists have stayed the same, which is nice. The easiest thing for a player to influence is the scoring. Right. I think that that's the easiest thing for it to change or improve on a night to night basis. The scoring has just varied. Can he score more than 20? Last year against this Magic team, he didn't score more than 20, but he had plenty of assists and rebounds. He had the normal, you know, I think his assists and rebounds numbers are like 4 and 7. He has 4 rebounds and 7 assists per game. And he's pretty much doing that every single game. But just his scoring has varied anywhere from, you know, 10 to 20 points a game, which changes everything. He did have 5 steals, however, against Orlando last year. I don't know if that's just an Elfrid Payton turnover thing or what the case may be. I don't think you're going to see those kinds of turnovers from, you know, DJ Augustine, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to be able to try and create some turnovers. He has been getting over a steal a game, so interesting spot for Holiday here, no doubt about it. I do like Goran Dragic, however. The Dragon is 6,900 versus Minnesota. Nice. Looking at this matchup, Minnesota has actually allowed an insane amount of scoring to the point guard. 24 points, 11 assists to the position, massive fantasy production. They're lowest in DVP. He has a 23.6 usage rate. That leads all of the Wolves. The thing about it is that James Johnson has actually been more effective as far as just pure fantasy scoring on this team. He actually has the highest plus-minus differential on the team when Hassan Whiteside is out. And Johnson has the higher assist rate and the higher rebound rate. So if you want the peripherals, it's James Johnson. The thing, you know, Goran isn't going to get the peripherals. He is like Jrue Holiday, and it's a question of, okay, he hasn't really been giving that many assists. For a point guard, he really does not do that many assists. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of just taking his own shots. So him and Holiday are very interesting to me. I think they have a very similar range of outcomes. And the appealing thing about Dragic is, you know, he's only 6,900. The not so appealing thing about Dragic is that there are six players on this team with 20% plus usage. I mean, you like this spot, but that's kind of like a recipe for, that's always a recipe for somebody else scores the 20 and he only scores the 10, right? And you trade those 10 points and then all of a sudden you're sitting there with 21 when you thought maybe you were going to end up with 31, 30, you know, like that's the feeling, like 25 to 35. It's like, gosh, well, thanks a lot, Josh Richardson, for scoring, you know, those two or three extra threes and getting hot. That's the concern, is that these margins are a little bit thin here. The salary is great, though. I mean, 30 plus points is a very safe number for a guy who gets this many minutes. He's shooting the same number of attempts per game, and this is a really plus matchup. So I don't think you overthink it too much. If Dragic, you don't have to force him in. It's not a smash spot, but it is a good spot for him at home versus Minnesota here. At shooting guard, you got to love Eric Gordon, the way he's been playing. He's just been scoring a shit ton. He actually has a better offensive rating than James Harden right now, which is blowing my mind. It's not a better net rating, but it's an offensive rating that's pretty weird. He's shooting really, really well, which is part of it, right? 24 points a night. He's looking very good. 33 minutes a night. Epic matchup here on the wing. Philadelphia, 29th in DVP to the shooting guard. The thing you don't really like is he has to be scored a valuable. Like he, you know, he's kind of like the thing. My approach always to peripherals is that it's difficult to. I like the floor with peripherals that a certain guy offers, but those are just, you know, those have high variance too. You know, those have high variance too, but I like the floor that they offer. And the scoring for Gordon has been very consistent here. He's been taking a ton of attempts, second in usage on this team, playing, you know, plenty of minutes and taking tons of shots. So you definitely like that, especially, you know, early season Eric Gordon is the time to do it. Last year, he fell off in a massive way. I mean, his price was as low as like 4,600 at times last year because he just was not scoring. He just did not have the legs after the All-Star break. This year, he's come back, he's fresh, he's shooting the ball really, really well, being very aggressive. You got to like him in this spot. You know, I think CJ McCollum very much in play in this one against DeRozan. CJ, you know, kind of similar to Lowry in this spot, just well-priced. I mean, 7,700 is a very, very good price for a guy who's, you know, he's averaged 38 fantasy points per game. And his last two matchups at home, 35 and 46. Now, are we going to expect him to, you know, he scores 46 against Phoenix. That's, you know, this is not Phoenix. Let's be very clear. This is a much more effective defensive team, but plenty of minutes, plenty of scoring. I mean, the scoring floor has just been unbelievable. 23 points in at least 23 points in every single game. He's averaging about 5 rebounds per game, about 5 assists per game. Just intensely consistent. You know, I mean, literally last 3 games at home, 23-4-2, 23-5-4, 23-5-6. And you see the scoring difference there go from 30 points to 35 to 46 points as far as, you know, just the game logs are concerned. And why is that? Well, it's the peripherals and those little itty bitty margins of those peripherals. You know, you go from 5 assists to 6 assists. This is why these things, I pay such a close attention to these peripherals. And you understand as to how many teams, you know, what teams allow assists, what teams allow rebounds and stuff like that, because it really, really, really does matter. I mean, teams like right now, by the way, Orlando and Dallas are two of the worst rebounding teams on this slate. What does that tell you you want to do, right? Toronto, pretty bad rebounding team on this slate. What does that tell you that you want to do? You try to create those little margins with your peripherals, at least that's what I do. Now, I know that that's kind of, you know, it's much more likely that you can try to project scoring via attempts and making sure the guys are taking the certain same number of attempts. But for a guy like CJ McCollum, that is a really, really, really good spot, I think. I think he's at 7,700 in a really nice place, really well priced. The problem is that you actually have a lot of really good value at shooting guard tonight. So you don't have to go there. That makes a lot of sense. You don't have to go there right now. At small forward, I think Jimmy Butler is just kind of, It's so hard to ignore a guy who we know has a massive ceiling at only 8K in Miami. I mean, Jimmy really kind of turned the corner with his performance on over the weekend against Oklahoma City, came back from that illness and, you know, went out, did 38 minutes. And here's the difference, right? He only took 10 shots. Fine. The attempts for Jimmy have been very low. It's not nearly the usage that he had last year in Chicago, but he earned 13 trips to the free throw line. Okay. He had 11 freebies. That's intentional. There's no way they don't look at that box score and go, this is what made a big difference for us. We attacked the middle of the rim. You know, we attacked the rim. We force people to defend Jimmy. We make sure he gets those free trips to the free throw line. And, you know, maybe you only saw 10 attempts from the field, but 13 trips to the free throw line means that he had at least 6 attempts that resulted in fouls. So you're really looking at about 16 attempts, which would have been a season high for him. So I really do like that. He had 25 points, and they need that from him. They need him to score in order to win. You know, I think it should work. You know, I just think that he went for 40. He's 8K right now. He's on the road. We have a team in Miami that, you know, he'll be guarded by Josh Richardson, maybe James Johnson. I have no idea. You've got to think that it's going to be Kelly Olynyk and James Johnson down low on what's his name? So on Towns. So you have to think that the Heat, you know, who are they going to throw on the perimeter? They're going to throw one of the shooting guard guys on Wiggins because he's not nearly the concern that Jimmy is. So it probably puts Josh Richardson on Jimmy, which that just that matchup doesn't really scare me that much. And, you know, based on what Miami has faced this year, you don't really see a situation in which, you know, they have had to deal with an elite wing. You know, they played the Spurs without Kawhi, the no Paul George Pacers. You know, I mean, they haven't really faced a murderer's row here. So, you know, we have the first real stud that they're going to face after Spurs, Celtics, Pacers, Hawks. You know, so I think that the Heat here are in an interesting spot. We can get after them with Jimmy Butler. And I think that it's, you know, it's just a, it's the kind of, you know, this is the kind of matchup that you want to be early on. Okay. You want to be early on these guys rather than late on these guys. And if I'm looking at this Celtics game to see how like Jason Tatum and the other wings performed here. Kyrie had a really nice game against, and you know, and it was a good game for Jason Tatum. Yeah, I mean, he had 20. So you're looking at a similar profile here to Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum. I mean, if I could tell you that Jimmy was going to get 20 in all his normal peripherals tonight, I think people would probably roster him, knowing that 20 being a floor. I mean, if 20 is the floor for Jason Tatum on 9 attempts, then where's Jimmy at? I mean, that's really good stuff. And God, if any Boston Stan right now is out there going, I don't know, man, Jimmy's not the same player as Jason Tatum, bro. Shut the fuck up. You're right. He's not the same player. Jimmy's Jimmy. And Jason Tatum is not Jimmy. But God, I hear that in my ears right now. I don't know. And I just want to, this is where I set my bar down, my beer down, and I walk away from the bar. And I'm like, you guys have a great night. I'll see you later. Okay. Thanks. Take care, everybody. Safe home. Gallo is in a really good spot here. And it's not because Golden State is a perfect matchup. It's not because Gallo is unbelievably good, but he's getting so many goddamn minutes. He's almost getting 40 minutes a game. He's getting 38 in the last three games. He's only averaging 13 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. The shooting has been really bad. He shot terribly. But if it jumps, it's like the Kyle Lowry thing. If it jumps up, you want to be on this. If he shoots 40% instead of 28%, you want to be on that. Fournier is the kind of the opposite of that. He's been getting the same number of minutes, but he is on fire, like on fire, shooting like 53% from the field. So you kind of think he cools down. I like the spot against New Orleans. It's a really, really, really good spot as far as, you know, just positional. That's the they're allowing 25 points to the position. That's 21st in the league. It's definitely a plus matchup on the wing for him. He's been taking the most attempts on the team. So I really like that. You know, so they're struggling with wings, basically, like shooting guard, small forward, don't care, whatever you want to call them. They're struggling with the wings. So I like Fournier here, but I think that there's probably more meat on the bone. Also, you know, with Gallo at 6'2 and Bobkov at 6'4. I mean, Bobkov at 6'4 is like my favorite play in the world. I love Bobkov. He doesn't have to score to contribute. He can do, you know, everything. He stuffs the whole stat sheet throughout the whole game, and you really get access to a ceiling with a player like that because the floor comes from the scoring, right? And he's averaging, you know, pretty solid, you know, points in the teens. He had 20 against Houston last time, and in fact, he had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 1 steal. He just owned Ryan Anderson. I mean, he just destroyed him. You know, the question is do they go with a more athletic lineup to deal with Simmons and Anderson? Do you get Mbute and do you get Mbamute and Ariza out there? Who knows? You know, I'm not really sure, but I think Bobkov has a really nice matchup. He should be able to do it again. Moving on to power forward, there's a lot in like the 7K range. I just don't know if I want to do that. I like James Johnson quite a bit at 6'7". Like I mentioned, he is the best plus-minus differential. Without Whiteside on the floor, he's leading his team in rebound rate. He's leading his team in assist rate. He does all of those things. He's kind of like the power forward version of Bobkov. Guys, peripherals create the ceiling. If points create the floor, peripherals create the ceiling. Okay, that's what I think you have to remember that, right? Another guy who has great peripherals is Al-Farouq Aminu. I mean, Toronto does not rebound. They allow a ton of rebounds to the backcourt, which kind of, you know, you immediately go, okay, CJ, backcourt rebounds, that's CJ, because he's out-rebounding Dame for sure, you know, and maybe even like a Mo Harkless or something like that, which I have no problem with, you know, Mo Harkless right now. He is getting those 30 minutes to Turner's 20 right now, and he's finishing games. So I like him, but Aminu also getting 30 minutes kind of that he's that guy. He can heat up, man. He's like a fantasy point per minute this year, and he's 5,700. If he's getting at 30 minutes down the stretch in a competitive game where there's almost literally no front court presence, yeah, I mean, Al-Farouq Aminu, he runs the floor too. He can get a lot of freebies. So I have no problem with Aminu here. He'll get you a block, maybe get you a steal. It's a nice spot to get after Aminu in this one. Rudy Gobert, man, at center, like obviously Joel Embiid, okay? Joel Embiid, 8K. He's got the game time tag with the hand. That scares me. Watch it very carefully. If he plays and you have 8K, go for him. But if you have 8-2, it's a nice pivot to Rudy Gobert. At Dallas. This is one of the worst rebounding teams in the league. They were one of the most worst rebounding teams in the league. They're close to that again this year. He's not scoring a ton, but I think that that's a problem for this team. I think that they are going to try to continue to get him involved. When he's scored, they win. When he's involved, they win. When they pretend like he's not out there, they're not winning games. So they have to keep him involved. You know, and he had a really big game the other night. You know, he had a double-double, a bunch of blocks. So I just think this Dallas team, not that athletic. You know, I mean, he's going to see some Dirk. He's going to see some Nerlens Noel, some Dwight Powell, whatever the case may be. But we know he's going to get a lot of rebounds in this one. I mean, last year against this exact same team, he had a minimum of 34 points per game, and he had 66 in one game. It was like a 22 rebound affair. It's a good spot. So, if you're nervous about Gobert, that's fine. You can go to Joel. I mean, he's a fantasy point per minute, and he has a very, very clear floor. I mean, Joel Embiid is going to probably get you 35 to 45 points, period. End of conversation. He's a very safe investment. Another pretty safe investment, Clint Capella. I would love it if Clint Capella is getting 28 or 30 minutes a game, but he's not. He's only really getting about 25 minutes a game. 76ers are bad against the center. It's really happening, and they allow a ton of blocks. I don't know who it is, but somebody's getting just destroyed in the blocks category. You know, they're actually very good in the efficiency differential, which is an indication, I think, of a lot of their front court players, like Bobkov and Embiid are just such efficient players that they make up for it in differential. But in fantasy scoring, they allow a shit ton of fantasy scoring down low. Capella rocked them last time out in Philadelphia, double-double before the first half. His price was really cheap then. I mean, now he's 7,500, and he's been playing well. I mean, he's been getting, you know, he is this good. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a question of whether or not you think he's talented. That's not even a, you know, that's not an issue. It's a question of whether or not you think he's worth 7,500, because he does have a range of outcomes that is 26 fantasy points, and this team wins anyway. I mean, if you're chasing those 56 points against Philadelphia, you better believe they're going to know that he destroyed them in Philadelphia. And those 20 rebounds, I mean, 20 rebounds is not sustainable. Like, that's not sustainable. I mean, he had, you know, he's had as few as 6 and 4 rebounds in certain games in the last, you know, the last couple games. And he's had as few as, you know, 16 minutes, you know, or 21 minutes in certain games. In the Philly game, he had 31 minutes. That's an outlier for him. So we have to mark that as an outlier. For me, 7,500 is kind of too much to pay for Clint Capella. You know, we see the ceiling there. We saw him have massive, massive points against Sacramento, who's another bad team against the, you know, against the center. But it's chasey. It's chasey. 4 blocks, 20 rebounds. That's just not going to maintain. It's not going to maintain. And you have to know that the 76ers know that too. I mean, they saw what he did on the glass, and they say that just can't happen again. We lost this game, and we allowed Clint Capella to have 20 rebounds in 30 minutes. Like, that can't happen. This isn't Hassan Whiteside. He's good, but it's not Hassan Whiteside. So that's somebody you got to keep your eye on. I mean, it's just not a, that's not, but it's just, I don't think it's a good investment. I'm going to just come out and say that. The last guy, I mean, is this Nurk night? Guys, is this Nurk night? No Jonas Valanciunas, no Serge Ibaka. Is this Nurk night? He's 6,900. He has been, you know, flirting with 30 points. He had 40 against Milwaukee, had 30 against Phoenix the other night, 27 minutes in all of those last couple games at home. Is this the Nurk night? Is this the Nurk night? I don't know really if it is, you know, but there's going to be a Nurk night. I just wonder if they're trying to keep him heavy, or excuse me, trying to keep him healthy, and they're limiting his minutes. And they're perfectly fine with that. You know, that's what I worry about. 27 minutes when I know I can get 27 minutes from a guy like Joel Embiid seems like a better investment, and I can go up to a guy like Cousins and possibly get 60 points. Even Jokic, I mean, against the freaking, you know, Jokic against the Knicks, like, or Gobert. I mean, Gobert gets way more minutes than all of these guys. He gets 35 minutes a game. There's just so much more floor with the 35 minutes versus 27 minutes, right? I mean, that's what you're paying for. You're paying for floor in cash games. You want a floor. So those are all your mid-range guys. Let's go to the grout, the bargain basement here. Point guard. Here's a couple names for you. Jamal Murray against the Knicks. Knicks have been terrible against the point guard this year. It seems like Murray's taken over. He's 4,700. I like him. I like Jared Jack on the other opposite side of the ball. No teams allowed more points to the point guard. But I think the real spot to go here is not necessarily with Jared Jack. It's probably go back to Tim Hardaway. And that's chasey. But the reality is if Tim Hardaway is healthy and he is going to get 30 minutes, then 4,300 is not too much to pay for a shooting guard against this team. The difficulty is that Gary Harris is actually much better. You know, in fact, the Knicks, the Nuggets are in the top half of the league. Whereas, you know, the Cavaliers are kind of in the bottom half, but the differential isn't that much. I mean, I guess it's only 5 fantasy points per game as far as DVP is concerned. But so Hardaway's, you know, it's just if you're getting 30 minutes of Tim Hardaway at $4,300, you just kind of have to take that and know that everybody else is going to be there, and you're just going to kind of ride that wave. The other guy that I really like at shooting guard, very similar price, Donovan Mitchell. he's going up against Dallas. Dallas has actually been terrible in just defensively. Really, really bad defensive team. We're not going to see any Dennis Smith out there tonight. Utah is at home. Donovan Mitchell has been playing as much or more minutes than Rodney Hood. When Rodney Hood has been effective, he's been kind of limited. But in certain situations, he's gotten a lot of minutes. You know, he's had anywhere. The problem is you're risking anywhere from 12 minutes to 27 minutes. So if Hood is playing, you have to be aware that Mitchell may not get more than 27 minutes. In those minutes, though, on that second unit, I mean, he is the scorer. Like, he is the man. So you can certainly consider him there. You know, Rodney Hood, however, getting definitely getting the majority of the minutes. You know, so Mitchell's interesting, but Hood is also very interesting to me. Although 5,200 is not my favorite. I liked him better when he was below 5K. I've always liked him better when he's below 5K. I think that's a good price to pay. I mean, Yogi Ferrell is also there at 4,700. He will play a majority of minutes and has one of the best differentials on the team when Dennis Smith is out. He gets the most minutes when Dennis Smith is out. The problem is that you're playing a shooting guard against a very, you know, on the road against Utah, a guy who is not that offensively minded. And, you know, against a team like Memphis, another good offensive team, he had 12 fantasy points. Like, that's very much a Yogi Ferrell possibility. So it's just risky. I think it's risky here. That's shooting guard. I do also, it's small forward. I think you can go, you know, Joe Ingles is interesting. I don't love it, but I think Joe Ingles is in play. If you're going below 5,500, of course, I always like that price point on Joshie Richardson. I like Evan Turner, but I prefer Mo Harkless at 4,800. And I think that you could look at Andre Iguodala if we think he's going to get minutes, if he's going to play in a competitive game, if he's going to get 30 minutes. The problem is he hasn't really done any scoring. Like, he's just not taking shots this year. So you could go to Jonathan Simmons at the exact same price. He blew up in his last game, and perhaps that's an indication that he's kind of finding his way with the Magic on the second unit behind Fournier, or maybe taking Terrence Ross's minutes, you know, because Terrence Ross, he is what he is, and that's why they brought Jonathan Simmons in here. He's, you know, a veteran, he's a good player. So I think he's interesting as well. That's about it. That's about as far as I'm going to go. Maybe Joe Johnson. I always think Joe Johnson for his price is viable if he's going to get more than 20 minutes. Problem is at this point, you really don't know. You don't know with these guys. So that's kind of all I like in the small forward value category. I mean, I'm not touching Wilson Chandler until I know what he's got, but I think Mo Harkless is probably one of the better investments, especially considering how many rebounds they give up to the front court, you know, and you know, Noah Baca in there, Harkless could have a nice game working against, you know, CJ Miles and stuff like that. So that I think that's viable for sure. And then if you move on to the power forward values, you know, I still do like sticking in that at Portland game. Ed Davis is one of the better rebounders on that team. He's been excellent and rebounding quite a bit. I don't really see much beyond that. I got to be honest with you. I really don't see much beyond that. I mean, I think the one thing that you got to keep your eye on is if Frank Kaminsky does not play, it's probably going to open up some minutes for Charlotte. My guess is that it's going to open up minutes for Marv, who's 4,300. And if Kaminsky does not play in this one, which he sat in the last one, Marv got 30, and we know Marv can double-double. So keep your eye on Marv. Marv is my man. Pascal Siakam also in play, 4,300. He will get a minutes boost with no, you know, and you click on the game logs, don't get fooled by a game against the Lakers. Like, don't get fooled by 18 points against the Lakers. Like, that's not what he's going to do, guys. Like, this guy, there's a reason that he's on the bench, okay? You know, there's a reason that he's on the bench, but we do know the rebounding is there. They're going to need the size in the front court. He could get over 25 minutes because there's just nobody in the front court to play. You should see more minutes for him for sure. that's about it. I don't like to go too below that, but let's keep an eye on everything in Charlotte, because if Frank doesn't play, then I think we have to be careful and think about possibly going to Marv here, because Marv could do some damage at this price and people could be sleeping on him. But you know, we love Marv on this show. We're big Marv people. We're big Charlotte people on this show. Sneaky Charlotte fans. I mean, I wrote up Kemba yesterday and I was like, you got to play Kemba against Houston when Ham Nanas. At center, if you're trying to save at center, don't mind Aaron Baines at 3,700. Don't mind Jakob Poeltl at 53. And I don't mind Pau Gasol and Enes Kanter. Those are the two other guys that I like. Specifically, I think Pau Gasol has one of the better rebounding matchups. By the way, I mean, the best rebounding matchup on the board belongs to LaMarcus Aldridge in the front court. He'll get Al Horford, which, like, I don't know. You want to watch Al Horford and LaMarcus Aldridge play one-on-one? I'll put my money on Aldridge. You know, they just don't rebound. And Aldridge leads that team in rebounds and, you know, and usage right now. It's a good spot for Aldridge, no doubt about it. The problem is, you know, do you pay for Aldridge or do you go up to the brow? You know, that's one of my issues that I have with roster construction. Enes Kanter has just been doubling 30 minutes. He's in a really good spot here. I think he's a really good investment. Poeltl, also a good investment. I mentioned that all those injuries in the front court. But, like, you know, what's his ceiling? You know, what's his ceiling against one of the best rebounding teams in the league, where he's going to be dealing with Ed Davis, Al-Farouq Aminu, Nurk? You know, there's a lot of size and athleticism in that front court. It's just that is an athletic front court. They move the ball. They move fast. What is Poeltl's ceiling in this one? I don't really know. And Pau Gasol is the same way. What's his ceiling? I'm not really sure, because his minutes are hard to project. You know, it changes a lot. So there's a lot of interesting spots here, guys. I forgot to mention one point guard guy that I really like. TJ McConnell, man, he's taken over that starting point guard position. Houston allowing a ton of production to the point guard with no Papov in there. He had a nice game against Houston. And it's not necessarily that you're chasing the performance he had against Houston the first time. What you love is that he's a guy who does a little bit of everything, right? And at his price at 4,900, you're asking him for 25 fantasy points. You're asking for 25 fantasy points over 30 minutes, okay? You're asking for a little bit more than a point per minute, or excuse me, a little bit less than a point per minute. And, you know, he has had, you know, he had six steals in that last game. That's not going to happen. Is two steals very possible? Yes, two steals is very possible. Is it 10, 5, and 5? You know, is 10, 5, and 8 assists possible? You know, with the addition of Embiid there, the pick and roll, it's all there. So McConnell is certainly an interesting guy there. Just at his price point, I think he's in a good spot. Let's jump over. Let's throw together a roster. Hopefully this show isn't out too late for you guys. You can listen to it. It's out really late. I'm sorry. So if I'm building around Boogie or the Brow, okay? I'm building around Boogie or the Brow. I'm going to pick, let's start with Boogie here in this, or excuse me, the Brow in this one. I'm also going to probably lock in Tim Hardaway Jr. I really like Jamal Murray as well. He got, you know, 30 minutes against Brooklyn last night. He has a great matchup against the New York point guards today. So I think Jamal Murray's in a good spot. It's a good spot to spend down. So those are a couple things that I'm locking in as far as just value is concerned. You know, so I have two value plays, one stud right now, and I have a $6,500 price point to work with. The question really is about, you know, a center position. Do I want to go with Gobert? Do I want to go with Embiid? Or do I want to go down to that 5K range, basically, and get to one of those guys? So I think the floor belongs to Embiid. You know, that certainly is really, really where the floor is in this one. You know, he is just the most projectable. But I don't like that he's got a hand. Like, I really, really don't like, I don't like that he's got a hand. It seems strange, and it seems like one of those weird letdown spots, you know, that bothers the heck out of me. you know, where they could, you know, limit him even more. I don't know. That just scares me. It just scares me. Maybe I shouldn't be scared, but it scares me a little bit here. So, you know, maybe we go to Gobert. Let's go to Gobert. We've got Murray, Hardaway, Davis, Gobert. I think what you have to try to decide is what you want to do at shooting guard. Do you want to spend, you know, on an Eric Gordon? I think Eric Gordon is very interesting at home here. But I don't think his performances recently are sustainable. There's just too much scoring. It's all scoring dependent. You take away that scoring and there's not much else to Eric Gordon's game. I don't mind a guy. I don't mind even Austin Rivers, who we've been seeing get a shit ton of minutes. He's in a tough spot against, he's in a tough spot against Golden State, but I, you know, the minutes are there. 34 minutes at $5,000 is a really, really nice. So you could go to that. If point guard, you probably, you could, you want to decide, do you want to go up to Steph or do you want to go down to one of these 7K guys? If you go with one of these, you know, like the Goran Dragic, for example, you then have $6,400, three spots to roster on here. Let's say small forward, I go down to my boy Mo Harkless. At power forward, I go to James Johnson. That's going to leave me $7,700 at small forward. What I really wanted to do, though, was get to, I thought I was going to be able to get to Jimmy at 8K or KD. If I wanted to get to KD, then the answer is to go off of James Johnson or maybe go off of Goran Dragic. And if I go off of Goran Dragic, I can just go down to TJ McConnell there, and he is in a good spot. And then at power forward, I probably would do someone. I could do Al-Farouq Aminu, for example. He's going to be low-owned. He's always low-owned. So this is an interesting little roster. And actually, hold on, let me see here. Oh, no. Oh, man, I was so close to getting LaMarcus Aldridge and then Boogie instead. $300 away. $500 away. There might be a way to make this work. I feel like I'm spending down too much. I always worry that I'm spending down too much, but I feel like when you have a really safe floor of minutes, that's when you really want 30 minutes from all of your guys. That's when you really feel like, okay, I'm getting somewhere. But anyway, Jamal Murray, TJ McConnell, Austin Rivers, Tim Hardaway, Mo Harkless, KD, possibly Aminu, possibly James Johnson, Boogie, but I'm not really sure. I may go up to Brow in this one and we'll see, you know, if I flip that around. But you guys, you know, hey, build how you feel comfortable. The thing is, don't ask me for advice. And not because I don't want to give you advice, but because I trust yourself. Trust yourself. When you have an idea and have a process that you want to stick to, don't ask for other people's inputs necessarily, unless you think that they have some kind of statistical edge. Our researcher, do your own research or get your own things. Project, fade projections. That's what I always say. Fade the projections. Fade the things that say 5X, 6X, 5.2, 4.7. They're too heavily influential. Go for Vegas. Go for minutes. Target those things. They're a little bit more easy to read. Projections are a fickle, fickle mistress. But that's it, man. That is it for us tonight. Hey, good luck. I'm sorry this is out late, guys. But, last thing. Don't forget the free roll, the review free roll. If you haven't been in here, get in there. The review free roll, as I mentioned at the top of the show. It's happening, man. So I will get those links out to people ASAP. All right. I will see you guys tomorrow with NFL content.